Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Can always tell when the, I don't want to say fall because fall's already, it's almost winter, but I can always tell when the holiday Thanksgiving, Christmas is getting real close because we always have the beautiful arrangement here in front of us. And thank you, Miss Carolyn. It always just lifts me up and encourages me to know that we are moving forward and all. So thank you for the beautiful arrangement for the month of November. Few announcements. Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry. Boxes are due Sunday, November 17th. They are still shoeboxes on the table as you enter the sanctuary if you'd like to participate in that. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. is the fellowship meal. We'll be having spaghetti, and then we'll have, after the meal, we have church conference. There's a sign-up sheet on the table as you enter the sanctuary for items needed for the meal. Sunday, November the 17th, is Friendsgiving with Tim Williams, morning and evening service. Please bring a guest or guest, and we'll have a fellowship meal cover dish after the morning service. Thursday, November 21st at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. The meal will be provided. Sunday, November the 24th at 6 p.m., the Community Thanksgiving Service will be held at our church, at Wigan Baptist Church. We'll be having more information on that. We will provide a meal after the service, so we'll be getting more information out to you on that. Any other announcements? Still got room for November. There's a few days left, not many. So if you got anything, let us know. We'd be glad to put it on the church calendar and add it to the bulletins. Any birthdays? No birthdays. And we do have a video pertaining to the Operation Christmas Child. We'll show that and then I'll open with prayer.
Jesus said, let the little children come to me. I want the children to know that Jesus Christ is alive and he'll come into each and every heart that invites him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world.
Because we bring gift to the children, the mothers and the fathers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
These boxes give us a chance to show them that there is a light, there is a truth.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
I just want to encourage you, if you are able and you can, participate in the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry. We've been doing it for years and years here, and it's always a blessing to be able to send these shoeboxes out, not only with the items, but with what? The gospel. Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, just praising your holy name and just thanking you for the opportunity to gather and worship you and you alone today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunities we have to reach out to this community, Lord, this state, this nation, and even as the gospel says, Jesus said to the outermost parts of the world, Lord, to international missions as we move towards our offerings and all for that, Lord, will come up in December, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we will just give with a giving heart and give sacrificially, Lord, to these causes, Lord. But, Lord, we are here today, Lord, to worship you. And, Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, with all the distractions that are going on, Lord, in our community, in our world, Lord, that we can just take this precious time today, Lord, and get rid of all those distractions, Lord, and just focus and worship on you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Sure.
Good morning. Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing Sunlight. We'll sing all the verses.
The sky.
And now our offertory hymn will be hymn 616. Trust, try, and prove.
Thank you.
Beautiful. We're going to do two courses this morning. We want the congregation to help us out. We're going to do In His Time. He makes all beautiful, all things beautiful in His time. And then People Need the Lord, and that's certainly true. People need the Lord. My goodness. So if y'all help us out, we won't ask you to stand as we usually do. You can sit there and just worship the Lord. And so help us out on this.
If you take the Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 5, John chapter 5, find a place. Oh, how many of you like to be sick? Anybody like being sick? I don't know very many people who do like to be sick. I worked with a guy at the sawmill years and years ago. And all you had to do was say somebody in your family wasn't feeling good, and guess what? All of a sudden, he was going home. It was a power of suggestion or something. I call it a hypochondriac, you know, because it didn't matter. I just all of a sudden, he'd have to go home, you know, and nothing would be wrong with him. I know of some people who fake being sick so they don't have to go to school or to work or something like that, but for the most part, most people don't like feeling bad. Most people don't like feeling sick. Well, today we're going to look at a story of a certain man. And when Scripture says that it's a certain man, whether it's in a parable or in a story that's being told, it is referring to a literal Jewish man. So this is a true story, and so it is involving a Jewish man, and he's been sick for a long, long time. And we'll see that Jesus comes up to this man and he asks him a question. He asks the man, "Do you want to be made well?" Who in the right mind would say, "No, I want to stay the way I am"? But you know what? There are many people that are sick in sin, and they'd rather stay there than to be made well. Let's read the passage. John chapter 5, verse 1. Said, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise and take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to cure your bed.' He answered them, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' Then they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." We pray with him. Heavenly Father, we have read your word. Lord, of the healing of the lame man, pool of Bethesda, Lord, I pray that you would be, Lord, here today, speaking into our hearts and lives and teaching us your truths and challenging us, Lord, in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that today we would all be obedient to you, and that, Lord, our faith and trust would be so much so in you that we would expect to do the impossible by the words you speak. Lord, you choose to speak life into our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak life into someone else's today. Lord, have your will and way in our hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of us would not want to be made well? All of us would want healing. All of us should desire healing. The pool of Bethesda, the word Bethesda means in the original language, it means the house of mercy. The house of mercy, or some translations have it translated as the house of outpouring. In other words, it was a place of mercy. And you know what? As I was studying this passage this week, I thought, what better name for a church than Bethesda? But is that true? Can people who are sick, hurting, financially, physically, emotionally, whatever, can they come to find healing in God's house? Can they come to a place where, because, listen, churches are supposed to be hospitals, not country clubs, right? Churches are supposed to be that place where they can find mercy and healing for whatever they're going through in their life, not a country club where we think we've got it all together. But here's this place. And the Bible tells us that this place had multitudes, great multitudes. Does that mean hundreds, thousands, whatever great multitudes mean? There's a lot of people there. But let's think about this for a minute. Because how many of you like to go to a hospital? Anybody? It's not my favorite place to be. Amen? And it's probably not most of our favorite places to be. But we find our Lord and Savior, it didn't keep him away. He chose to go to these places. He knew what was there. So let's think about it for just a moment. If we were to go to the Pool of Bethesda today, some 2,000 years later, who would we find? Well, the Bible talks about the blind, the deaf, and the lame. We certainly see those people there. But not just a few. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of people around this pool. You think about it for a moment. If you walked into a place like that, remember this is a dry, arid region, right? If people can't get around and move much and they're lame and they can't get up to go relieve themselves, what happens? Could you imagine? Well, let's don't imagine right now. But think about it for just a moment. You're in this place. It doesn't smell good. There's a lot of sick people laying around. They're moaning, they're groaning, because that's what we do when we don't feel good, when we're sick. They're moaning and groaning. Maybe some are complaining. And they're going through all this, and in walks Jesus. He walks into this place. And he doesn't just see old people. He might see babies who've been abandoned. He might see kids that, because in some regions of the world, even today, if a child is born with a cleft palate, they disown the child, they get rid of it. Just because baby was born with a defect. But you have people that they can't, some can do for themselves, they're blind, they can't really go anywhere or do anything because they can't see how to get there. For lame, they can't get there. If they can't hear, they can't know what people are saying. But here comes Jesus to a place where there's a lot of sick folks. There's a lot of people who cannot do for themselves. It probably has a stench to the area. It probably has a just an air of hopelessness as he walks in. We hear people crying in pain, crying out for hunger, crying out for mercy, but this is a place where Jesus chooses to come to because that's what Jesus often does. Whereas today, many of us try to avoid places that are around people who don't smell good, look good, feel good. Jesus didn't mind. He walked right in. Why? Because he doesn't just love healthy people. He loves sick people too. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But Jesus, as he walks in, he sees this man. And as he comes up to him, the Bible tells us this man has been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. Apparently he wasn't born this way. We'll talk about that just in a moment too, because apparently when Jesus tells him to go and sin no more, apparently there was some sin in his life that did cause the condition he was in. We don't know what the condition, it doesn't tell us. But Jesus tells him once he's healed, go and sin no more. So we find this situation, we find this man in a place where nobody wants to be. Think about this, for 38 years, and it doesn't tell us how often this angel came down and stirred up the pool water, right? It doesn't tell us how often, but it tells us that you had to be waiting and ready, because when the angel came, you had to be the first one in. Think about this for a moment. You know that healing is just one step away. Somebody hollers out, the water's moving, but you can't get it. Every time you start scooting, rolling, whatever, because he can't move, he's doing his best. Somebody steps over and steps into the water. For 38 years, whether this was once a year, or once a month, or once a week, we don't know. But it had to take faith for that man to sit there day after day after day after day, waiting for his chance to get in. See, I believe that this man had grown bitter. I know in my former years, if somebody like Jesus would ask me the question, and I was this man having been in that situation for 38 years, and Jesus came by and said, Tim, you want to be made well? I said, no, I'm good. I'm just sitting around hanging out with all my friends here at the pool. What do you think? Right? Isn't that what you would have done? It seemed like an insensitive question for Jesus to ask. Do you want to be made well? You see, he'd grown bitter, though, because think about it. Time after time, he tried. He tried to get into the pool to be made well, and time again as he was going, somebody else would always step down in front of him. They were more concerned about themselves than they were about helping him. And he's probably thinking in his mind, this is the house of mercy and nobody's showing me mercy. I think about the man as he's there and Jesus is asking these questions. And he says, sir, I have no one. How many of you feel lonely today? Listen to me. This man for 38 years has had no one to even help him. It doesn't say that he was brought there day after day by friends. It doesn't say that at all. It says that he would lay daily at gate. Did he spend the night there? Was he there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Whatever it is, what we do know is that when the waters got stirred, nobody, not even family or friends, would help him get in. Yeah, nobody. You see, Jesus offers to us hope. He offered this man hope who for 38 years had placed his faith that sooner or later he was going to make it into the water. But he got to that place where he was becoming bitter. He was bitter because every time somebody else would beat him into the water. But Jesus comes to that place. He comes to the place because he loves the healthy, and he loves the sick, he loves the rich, he loves the poor, he loves those who are socially secure, and for those who are socially insecure, he loves those with jobs that pay millions of dollars a year, and he loves those who can't hardly get by. He loves those who can walk, and he loves those who can't. He loves those who are blind and those who can see. For 38 years, this man has hoped and prayed. Somehow, some way, he would be healed. That somebody would show mercy to him. then he asked the question, do you want to be made well? And we could kind of think that that's an insensitive question to a point, because surely everybody wants to be made well. But Jesus doesn't ask dumb questions, amen? Jesus wanted this man to think about his state for just a moment. This man was in a state. There was nothing he could do for himself. There was no way he could get to the water on his own. He had to have somebody help him out. He had to have somebody come along and do something for him to show this man mercy. He'd been abandoned. He was to the point where hope was no longer there. Faith, yeah. So his faith kept him there, because if he didn't have some sort of faith, he wouldn't have been hanging around the pool, because he'd have said, what's the use? But here we realize that this man, he can't get in the water by himself. And Jesus asked the question, do you really want to be made well? Jesus, I believe, is asking that question because he wants the man to think about it. If Jesus was to heal him, he would no longer be paralyzed. He would no longer be an invalid. You said, well, that would be great. You got to understand, for 38 years, this man has had to live his life at the mercies of others. If he gets healed, he's nothing special anymore. He's going to have to get out and get a job like everybody else. He's not going to get people to come feed him every day, if he even got fed every day. Because some days as a beggar, you might be good one day, and the next day you're not so good, you know. And so he's at the mercy of other people who would come along and either feed them or give them alms to the poor so that they could buy something to eat. But if Jesus heals him, he's not going to be the same. And after 38 years of living in this condition, sometimes we get used to the way things are, right? Do you want to be made well? The answer comes. Yeah, he wants to be made well. But he has no way to be made well. Listen to this for a moment. Listen to verse 7. It says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Every time he's this close to making it in, this close to finding healing, this close to his life changing, and time after time after time, somebody else gets the blessing. Somebody else gets to change life. Somebody else gets to go home. Somebody else gets to go back to work. But not him. Time after time, he's lived it for 38 years. So what does Jesus do? I love this. Jesus didn't do no hocus pocus. He just simply spoke words. Isn't that how God does when he wants the sun and the moon and the stars? What does he do? He speaks. When he wants the water to be separate from the land, what does he do? He speaks. When he wants animals created, what does he do? He speaks. He speaks things into existence. And at this very moment, he tells this man, he says, rise. Get up. Notice something with me about this man's faith. He said, well, I've been like this for 38 years. I can't move. This man has some faith. Because if I've been sick 38 years and couldn't move, couldn't get up, and Jesus told me to get up, I thought, what? Are you crazy? I can't do it. I've tried before. Why do you think I can't get in the pool? Because I can't move. Jesus simply said, listen, rise, take up your bed and walk. Listen to these words. John uses the word immediately. There was no guesswork. There was no hesitation on this lame man's part. He simply just got up. That takes faith. That takes faith to listen to the words of God. And notice it doesn't say that he's stumbling and falling down and having to go to rehab for the next 20 years to get made better. He is made better immediately. Oh, man, what a blessing. Isn't that how it is with salvation? Listen to me. None of us can save ourselves, can we? None of us can save ourselves. And until Jesus comes along and tells us to rise, well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, then again verse 5 tells us we are dead men. There's nothing we can do for ourselves. And until the Lord speaks into our lives and calls us to him, there is nothing we can do of ourselves. This man got up by faith. He listened. He believed the words of Jesus. And he was healed. Now listen here. Why is it in church sometimes, and I'm talking to church this morning, and who is the church? It's not a building, it's the people, right? Why is it when we see somebody that receives a blessing, all of a sudden there's people talking about it? I hope that's none of y'all. In reality, usually when somebody receives a blessing, when somebody receives a blessing, what happens? You got a committee over here. And what do they call them? I call them the cold water committee. You see somebody that's received a blessing. This man walking, he ain't done it 38 years. He's got something to rejoice about, right? And people should be rejoicing with him. But then you got the church folks. Read it. Let's read it, because I want you to take my word for it. Verse 8. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Verse 9, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was what?
The Sabbath.
But now let's listen to what these church folks say, okay? It says the Jews, therefore said to him who was cured, it is the what?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. You see, instead of rejoicing that this man has been cured, has been healed of his 38 years of infirmity, they are now criticizing him because he received a blessing from who? From God, because he's breaking one of their laws, not God's law. They were not supposed to do customary work on the Sabbath, but Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Lord of the Sabbath said, rise up, take your bread, get up your bed, roll it up, put it under your arm, and walk. And the man obeyed him, and the first people, instead of church people rejoicing and praising God with him, they're the ones criticizing him. Now, one thing I noticed too about studying through here, this man, Jesus picks him right out because Jesus knows everybody. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what you're going through, right? Jesus comes in. He knows the man. He's seen him there. He's seen him there before. But these religious people, guess what? What thought goes through my mind is this. Did they even notice that this was the same guy that used to be at the gate by the pool? Did they ever notice that he was the one who used to lay down there right next to the water, and every time the water got stirred, he didn't get in? Or maybe these church people had never even been in that area. Maybe they didn't even realize that he was the one who had been made well. They just wanted to criticize him because he received a blessing and was told to take up his bed and walk, and they got mad about it. Now, here's I thought, oftentimes, instead of rejoicing with somebody when we see that God has blessed them, sometimes we want to sit back and criticize. But I wonder what they did to get back. I wonder what laws they broke. I wonder who they're stealing from. I wonder what they did. Sometimes we just simply need to realize that God gives blessings to people, and we need to rejoice when God does. We need to praise God when we see somebody else who's received a blessing. Now, here these guys nitpick this poor man. This man, he's being asked by these quote-unquote church folks, the Jews, who told you to take up your bed and walk? Who told you to do that? And he said, well, I'll paraphrase, right? I don't know who it was. He just told me to rise, take up the bed and walk, and I got up, I rolled it up, now I'm gone, right? He's gone. He's obeying what this man told him because this man brought healing to him. See, they were more concerned about the breaking of their Sabbath day tradition than about a man who was blessed by God. Listen, this verse 13 with me. He says, but the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. But listen, Jesus doesn't leave us waiting. He doesn't leave us hanging around. I remember the blind man, because the blind man, he couldn't see when Jesus healed him, could he? He couldn't see, John chapter 9. He couldn't see. And so later on, Jesus finds him and reveals to the blind man who he was. And in this case, the lame man, he couldn't find him. He really didn't know who he was. Just Jesus told him to rise up, or rise, take up the bed and walk, and he did. But let's read on down. But the one who was healed did not know who it was being in that place. Afterwards, this is verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. And then what's the next few words? Why is it that today in our lives we get that all mixed up or have problems with it? I'm just being serious. Sometimes we try to make it easy believism in church where you just come, say this prayer, kneel down, and we'll put you in the water and sign your name on the list, and you're good forever. Jesus tells this man, go and sin no more. In other words, there's a repentance, there's a turning away, there is a believing part of it, there is our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, but there's also the point of us listening, saying, this is how I was going, now this is where I'm going, because that's wrong and this is right, and that's who I need to follow. This man, was found by Jesus and given a warning. I wonder what warning Jesus would have to give to us today. Listen, see, you've been made well. You're saved because of faith. You're saved from sickness, you're saved from sin, because here's the reality of it is, every single one of us is like the lame man. I mentioned this already. There's nothing we can do about our sins. We can't be good enough to save ourselves. We can't pay enough. We can't look good enough. Can't get smart enough for Jesus to love us. And it's because of His grace, through faith, that we are saved. It is only because of Him and what He has done for us. Listen, this man had a problem in his life, just like all of us do. It's called S-I-N, right? Sin. He had sin in his life. How many of you have no sin in your life this morning? We're all sinners. Isn't that Romans 3:23 tells us? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is nothing we can do to get up, to stand up, to earn our salvation. It is because we are sinners, and in our sinful state without Christ, we have no hope, just like the lame man had no hope. Had no hope. But you know what Jesus does? Just like he did the lame man, Jesus comes walking in, and he walks into a room full of sinners just like us this morning, and he says, do you want to be made well? 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 And you know what? Some of us might say, well, Jesus, you've already made me well. You've already healed me. But there's others here this morning who would say, I want to be made well. I want a cure for my sin. I want a cure for my brokenness. I want a cure for my heart, for my health, for my family. I want help in every area of my life. I need help. I want to be made well. But then there's some of us here this morning say, you know what? I'd rather stay where I'm at. I'd rather stay in my sin. I'd rather stay in my filth. I'd rather stay as in. I'd rather stay where I'm at in my life. I'm comfortable, and I don't want nothing coming along with rocking my world. I want things to just continue on the way they've always been. My question is to you this morning is, do you want to be made well? Jesus can heal you. If you're not saved today and you know that if you die, you bust hell wide open, can I tell you, Jesus has a cure for you. It's called salvation. It's called believing in him. It's called turning from your sins and turning towards him. And do you have problems in your home, in your family, in your finances? Jesus has a cure. But you got to trust him. Don't be the one who says, I'm good. I don't need help, because I'm going to tell you right now, we all need help. Will you stand with me as we go into this time of invitation? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the music starts today, and just step out, come forward, Brother Tim. I want to know Jesus. I want to know how I can be forgiven. And I'll do my best to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I also know this. Don't fall for Satan's lies. Because as the Holy Spirit's convicted, you know what Satan's on the other shoulder doing? Saying, just wait. He's saying, just wait. You got more time. He's saying, don't worry about it. You're not that really bad off. You can handle it on your own. Do you want to be made well? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I believe there's at least one here today who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. They've never given their lives to you. And Lord, today I pray that it would be the day. Lord, that's who say, yes, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to trust you as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to be made well of all that is wrong in my life. Lord, for others of us who may have slipped back into that lifestyle of feeling helpless and hopeless, Lord, I pray that as you call out this morning, do you want to be made well? Lord, that we too need to take hold of your hand. Lord, that we need to stand up with you and for you and put our lives back in your hands. Lord, we pray for the one who's satisfied being where they are. Lord, that you would just take this moment and time to turn their heart of stone into hearts of flesh. Lord, that you may have your will and way in their lives. Lord, I pray that whatever you want to do in each and every one of our hearts and lives this morning, that we would be obedient to your word. Lord, that we would trust you. That, Lord, we would find healing and forgiveness in you this morning. Lord, have your way in every heart and life, I pray in Jesus' name.